finally get everything all set up. And I've learned not to say anything until I want Steve to start recording, because even if I'm just talking about changing the battery in the microphone, sometimes that gets on the recording, or at least he leaves the closet before I get finished saying that, so he must be recording that too. You're not interested in me changing the battery. Or maybe you are. Maybe you wish I wouldn't. But anyway, we're unplugged today, as you can see. And the reason is because my computer needs fixing, and David Roach has volunteered to fix it, about the only way that we figured out that it can be done. And he says it's not a hammer, it's a manipulator. So anyway, the passage that he read at the beginning of the worship service contains the word pattern in it. There have been a lot of places where I've been where people have accused me of being a patternist. And I think, well, what's that? Because I'm not real sure what a patternist is until somebody tells me what they mean. Well, you believe that there's a pattern in the New Testament, that it's just nothing but law and you've got to do everything. Yeah, I believe that. If that's what it takes to be a patternist, I guess I am one. And when Paul told Timothy to hold the pattern, I guess he's telling them to be a patternist. So the question is not whether or not you're a patternist, but whether or not the pattern is important. Now, in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 40, it says, "And see that thou make all them after their pattern, which hath been showed thee in the mount." It's important for us to recognize the importance of measurements, of patterns. For instance, if ladies, if you're making a dress, this is to the ladies, I don't imagine there'd be too many men making a dress. I did try to sew one time, and I didn't know that there were such things as patterns, and it was real funny. But you follow a pattern because you want your garment to look like the picture that you've got in your head of what it's supposed to look like. And you have to do it a certain way. Recipes are patterns. I have a wonderful pattern for saltless tacos. And the only caveat I offer is that you can't mind the top being blown off your head because it's hot. And, oh, it's good. And blueprints for buildings are patterns. There are certain patterns that we don't recognize as we should. For instance, speed limits, stop signs, traffic laws. It's a pattern on how we ought to drive. And patterns are important. Patterns are vital in our everyday life. Why wouldn't they be important in our spiritual life? And yet, so many times, we have a tendency to take patterns for granted, especially if we can get away without following one. And that, of course, is a mistake. Now, in the Old Testament, we see pressed home the idea or notion that patterns are important. Now, just looking at Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 16, Moses writes, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before us, or before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. This is how thou shalt make it: the length thereof of the ark, 300 cubits; the breadth 50 cubits; and the height of it 30 cubits. A light shalt thou make to the ark." It was just a window, is what he's talking about. They didn't have electrical lights. So and they're not going to burn a candle with all the lions and elephants. Might make them a little nervous. So he's talking about a window. "A light shalt thou make in the ark, and to a cubit thou shalt finish it upward, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower and second and third stories shalt thou make it." Now, he's got a definite idea of what he wants the ark to be like. And there's some things that we can gather out of it just right off the bat. Number one, it's supposed to be made out of gopher wood. That's part of the pattern. Is that a binding part of the pattern? Is that important? Is it good that they have this pattern? It is to have one window. And the size, 300 by 50 by 30 cubits. 300, that's 450 feet long. That's a big boat, a great big boat. And certainly larger than anything that they had seen in their daytime. But there's the pattern. Was it important? The passage that we read at the very beginning in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 40, when God is giving Moses directions for the tabernacle and all of its furniture. He says, Exodus 25 and verse 40, "And see that thou make them after their pattern, which has been shown thee in the mount." This is important enough for both Stephen and the writer of Hebrews to repeat it. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 44, Stephen says, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of the testimony in the wilderness, even as he appointed who spake unto Moses that he should make it according to the figure which he has seen," or the pattern that he has seen, some translations say. You look over to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, and we'll talk about the importance of this in just a moment, but he says concerning the Old Testament Levitical priests, he says, "They serve that which is a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things, even as Moses is warned of God when he's about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern that was shown thee in the mount." Make all things according to the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. The pattern's important. And they're warned. Solomon was told to build all things according to the pattern. David gave him the pattern. And he gave him the pattern for the temple. He gave him the pattern of the Spirit. And he found it bound upon it. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 19, it says, "All this, said David, I have been made to understand in writing from the hand of Jehovah, even all the words of this pattern." And yet we have people standing up before us who say that a pattern is not important. There is no pattern. There's no law. I went to school with a bunch of them. And anybody that even had the slightest notion that there was a pattern for our worship or anything else that was binding on things that they didn't consider important was just a patternist or a legalist. But now if they considered it important, then of course we've got to do that. And so there was a big difference made. Ezekiel's temple was something that he prophesied about, but it was measured with a reed and a flax line or a plummet line. And the church is prefigured in that passage. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 beginning, it says, "So then ye are no more sojourners or strangers and sojourners, but ye are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building fitly framed together and groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." The temple consists of buildings, and each one is built according to a pattern so they fit together. Now, I used to worship in a church building up Prescott that was built one room at a time over a period of about 40 years. And, of course, each room was designed by a different person. And most of the people that worked on the building of that church building were railroad men and ranchers, and there wasn't a draftsman among them. There wasn't much of a pattern. And the building didn't fit together very well. So we felt very fortunate and blessed when we finally sold it. And it was not because the building was so attractive, it was because of the location. There's a need for a pattern, in other words, for everything to fit together the way it's supposed to go and to function properly. The church has such a pattern, even though that church building up there did not. And you could use that for an illustration all day with people sitting there because they could see that it didn't fit. Do the measurements matter? The measurements of the pattern matter? Well, yes. It was because he followed the pattern, he was willing to follow the pattern, that Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, it says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He not only did what God commanded him, but he did as according to what God told him. In other words, he did it the way God told him to do it. Israel enjoyed God's presence because they were willing to follow the pattern. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, it says, "Let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." And then he gives them the pattern for the sanctuary. Verse 9, he says, "According to all that I show thee, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the furniture thereof, even so shall you make it." The implication is, if you don't do that, then I won't dwell among them. It'll be useless if you don't follow the pattern. And of course, there are other passages where the pattern is emphasized and the need for the pattern is emphasized. It is in the following the pattern that the people's security is assured them. I've got some passages here. Exodus 42. I don't have that written down. But anyway, in Exodus 42, comments are made along the line. That should be Ezekiel 42, I'm sorry, where it says, "Now he made an end of the measuring of the inner house and brought me forth by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east, and measured it round about. He measured on the east side with the measuring reed, 500 reeds, and with the measuring reed round about, he measured on the north side, 500 reeds, and measuring reed with the measuring reed round about. He measured on the south side, 500 reeds. He turned about to the west side and measured 500 reeds." A lot of detail in the measuring, isn't there? "He measured it on four sides and had a wall round about it, the length 500 and the breadth 500, to make separation between that which was holy and that which was common. Following the pattern separated the holy from the common." Now, in Ezekiel 43 and verse 10, it says, "Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that it may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern." That they didn't measure up. They could see that in the contrast between them and this house in the vision, in the prophecy. "And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, make it known unto them in the form of the house and the fashion thereof and the egresses thereof and the entrances thereof and so forth. And all the forms thereof. They will see their error when they see the house," because the house makes pattern, follows the pattern, but they don't. He says in verse 12, "This is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house, holiness." Holiness in this passage, in this vision, connected to its closeness to the pattern, its following of the pattern. Now in the New Testament, the word pattern is used to emphasize a connection between what God has done in the Old and New Testament. In Romans 15 and verse 4, it says, "What sort of things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope." And as we've said before, when he says, "For what sort of things were written aforetime were written for our learning," his idea is not that he's given us the Old Testament just for something to do. To keep us out of trouble. My mother used to give us jobs and tasks around the house to keep us out of trouble. If we were busy doing that, we wouldn't be fighting each other, or we wouldn't be doing other things that we shouldn't be doing. And my dad did that too. And so sometimes the assumption is that God gave us the Old Testament, so we should learn it just for busy work's sake. But that's not the purpose of the Old Testament. The Old Testament teaches us things that God wants us to know about Him and about the way He works with man, and something even about the New Covenant. And one of the things He talks about in the Old Testament that is carried over into the New Testament is the idea of following the pattern and the importance of it. Now, there are three words that we concern ourselves with when studying the pattern. The first word is the word rule. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul says, only whereunto we have attained by that same rule, let us walk. And what he's saying is, you've gotten to a certain maturity level, then walk this way. Walk according to this rule, this pattern. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16, Galatians 6 and verse 16, Paul says, and as many as shall walk by this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Now the word rule there is from the Greek word canon. It is a measuring rod, a rule. It is applied to the books of the Bible. They conform to certain canons so they can be added to what is called the greater canon, that is the list of books. But they have to be according to the rule or the pattern before they're put in. Any rule or standard or principle of law of investigating, judging, living, and active. That's there. Then there is the word form. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans 6 and verse 17, it says, but thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you become obedient from the heart to that form, or literally pattern. Well, literally, form and pattern can be synonymous, so it's literally either one. You obeyed from the heart, you're obedient from the heart to that form or pattern of teaching whereunto you were delivered. Here is a recognition of a pattern of teaching. The word there is translated from tupos, meaning an example in a technical sense, the pattern in conformity to which a thing must be made. That's according to Thayer once again. Now we read at the beginning of the worship, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. And again, I have been told many times that because I believe in a specific pattern, a specific way of doing things, that I'm a patternist. And I said, my answer is, well, the Bible talks about patterns and holding the patterns, and that gives them a binding sense. For instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, hold the pattern of sound words. Anything other than that is unsound or unhealthy. It tends away from salvation. Hold the pattern of sound words. Well, where do you find that? Which thou hast heard from me. And what did Paul tell Timothy? Well, same thing he told the Corinthians. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's talking about the gospel. Those are the words that are sound. That is the pattern that we're to follow in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, it is an old trick among people who teach error when you bring up a passage like this to say, well, now, if you just understood that in the Greek, you'd see the error of your teaching there. You've made a mistake. And I'm not a genius in the Greek. I had 2 years of it in college. And basically what I learned was a lot of vocabulary and a lot of gobbledygook. Because you have to be good at English to be good at Greek. Forget that. Oh, you know what? English grammar bored me to tears. Just bored, and probably does you. And you can tell. But but I do have several lexicons at home. And one of them, one of the most trusted is Thayer. John Henry Thayer wrote a lexicon. And that almost sounds like the beginning of a poem, doesn't it? John Henry Thayer, he wrote a lexicon. So anyway, he says that this word pattern, now I'm being told that it doesn't mean what it appears to mean, and if I just understood the true meaning of this word, then I would change my disposition and my view. Here's what it means. It's from hupo, tuposis. And the only definition he gives is an example, a pattern. I know what a pattern is. It's what I'm told that I'm not supposed to have. I'm not supposed to be a patternist. But what I'm saying here is you can be sure about instrumental music in worship. You can be sure about the work of the church and the organization of the church. You can be sure about marriage and what's expected of you, especially in regard to divorce. Well, I shouldn't say especially, because just about everything about marriage is covered in the pattern given in the New Testament. That is because this is a pattern. This is a rule book. This is our owner's manual. And the thing is, when we get away from the owner's manual, we foul up. I've lost the owner's manual for my computer. No, you're not going to be able to manipulate it, David. I'm going to baptize it here in a minute. But you men, you understand me, because there's never been a bicycle that could put itself together. And every one of you, when you start to put it together, your bicycle, somewhere along the line, you repent and you go get the instruction manual. Women are not like that. You know what women do when they can't get the bicycle together or their VCR to work? Those poor, foolish people call me. Or they call some man. Only to be abused by that individual when they ask, "Have you read the instructions?" No, that's why I called you. That, by the way, is a real-life example multiplied by, I mean, it's happened several times. And it's not just women. Some of us men some of us have the oddest, most strange contraptions in our house. At least they look that way because we didn't follow the instructions. But if it works, don't mess with it. If it doesn't work, manipulate it. That means bang it on the side until it falls apart. Then it will be sorry. It will be sorry, won't it? But there's a pattern, and it's in the instruction manual. And here is your instruction manual. What's the matter with us? We're not following the book. I mean, after all, everybody's got to work out their own salvation. Isn't that what they say? Can you imagine calling a computer tech for Dell or Gateway or Samsung or whatever and say, "Well, yeah, I read the instructions, but this is my interpretation of it." You know what they'd tell you to do? This is the way you fix that. You unplug it, turn it off first, then unplug it, put it back in the box, and send it back. We have to follow the instruction. We have to, because we do not know. And so the instruction, if you want to call it a pattern, fine. If you want to call it law, okay. The Bible calls it law. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1. I recognize that some of these passages have to be reconciled with others, but these are the simplest ones. It says in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 21, "To them that are without law is without law, not being without law to God." What is he saying? He's saying, "I am not without law to God. I am under God's law." And yet there are people who stand up in our pulpits, not denominational pulpits, who hold up their Bible and say, "This is not a book of law. These are love letters from Jesus." And you want to go home and watch a Hallmark movie or something. It says, "Not being without law to God, but under law to Christ." And then somebody turns around and says, "Oh, we're not under law." There's no pattern. And that card is played just about any time a liberal philosophy breaks through the gate. You people are just old traditionalists. You don't really understand the great love of God and how that cancels out all our mistakes. And, you know, here's a guy that's, you know, maybe he's in transition. What do you mean he's in transition? Well, he just left his wife and he's got another one on the line, and you know, they're, you know, doing whatever they do, and they're in transition. But don't worry about it. Well, I thought he was a Christian. Why? How can you say don't worry about it? Don't worry about it. Grace will cover it. Will it? What did Peter say about forgiveness of sins in Acts chapter 8? He said, repent and pray. That means stop doing your nonsense. Gary Johnson went to a church here in the state to hold a meeting, and they wanted a list of his sermons because they were scared to death of him. Thursday night he's going to preach on repentance, and they disinvited him. Can you imagine a preacher in the Church of Christ being told by a Church of Christ that he can't come and hold a meeting because he's going to preach on repentance? What would that do to the career of John the Baptist? John the Baptist have no excuse for being born. Well, basically, I know what Gary's sermon was on. I've heard it 100 times. It's a call back to the pattern. Repent. Come back to God. And, man, who wouldn't want that preached? How important is the pattern? You know, in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, where the writer of Hebrews is talking about Jesus as our priest, he says that the Old Testament priest served that which is a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things, even as Moses is warned of God when he's about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. Now, there's an importance attached to this that you may not have thought about, but it's there. Most people don't think about it. But the purpose of the Old Testament was to bring the Jew to Christ. And part of what that was an educational process. It was the old law was an explanation of the sacrificial system. And the temple was one of the things that was used, one of the tools that was used. And you'd go on down. The priesthood was important in some respects and so on and so forth. And it was a copy or a shadow of what God is going to give us in Christ. Now, if I don't follow the pattern, do you not see that kind of goofs up the prophecy aspect of typology? So that Moses had to build according to the pattern so it would reflect what was real. Well, look at it from our end. We have to build according to the pattern or this statement becomes nonsense to us. And the typology that's involved throughout the Scriptures is nonsense. We read a while ago, 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 13, hold the pattern which thou hast heard from me, of sound words which thou hast heard from me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold the pattern. He says in verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, guard through the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. Why guard it? Because people attack it. People attack the pattern on a daily basis. And some of them are us. What we're talking about is authority. And members of the church are rejecting the concepts taught in the Scriptures about authority. In fact, there's a large group who teach that examples and inferences don't have any binding nature to them whatsoever. You know what that sets you free to do? You can have the Lord's Supper anytime. And they have the Lord's Supper on Thursday and sometimes on Monday, whenever the mood strikes them, because they've rejected the idea or concept of example. And what is an inference? It is a conclusion that we reach by reasoning from the Scriptures. Well, we're not allowed to go beyond the teaching of Christ. Instrumental music is beyond the teaching of Christ, and so that there goes the ban on. And we could, and instrumental music, if you allow the piano, pianos are not very popular these days, and organs are only popular at old ballparks and skating rinks. And so we just have a rock band. Y'all who were here when we moved in this building, what do they have up here? Why is this such a big pulpit? Well, right here was the snare drums, you know, the drum set. It said the Beatles on the drum. No, it didn't say that. But it looked like Ringo Starr had been here. Bass guitar here, big amplifiers all over the place. And they did have electric organs on either side in case the band didn't show up. Why did they do that? Why did they do that? Because they did not believe, 2 John 9, they did not believe that the pattern was important. They were convinced that they could do whatever they pleased and God would have to accept it. Because, I mean, after all, God doesn't want to throw us all away. And if we all join together and do something that God doesn't want, well, he's just got to accept it. And you say, I've never heard anybody talk like that, David. Okay, that's fine with me. I don't care whether you've heard them talk. That has been said to me. It's been argued with me, to me. So, Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, unless you don't want to do it. No pattern. There's no pattern, they say. 2 John 9, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. How do they get around that? How does anybody get around that? They say, well, that's not the teachings that Jesus taught. That's the teachings about Jesus. You get the difference? I don't either. Because the teachings about Jesus include what Jesus taught. In fact, that is the most profound aspect of teaching about Jesus, is repeating what Jesus taught. Don't you see that? But if it doesn't mean what Jesus taught, but rather just the teaching about Christ, then you have to accept the virgin birth and being born in Bethlehem, but you don't have to accept Matthew 19, 9. That's the way it's used. How long have they been doing this, David? I don't know, because they were doing it full swing when I was in college, which was a lot. They didn't have colleges back then when I went to college. It was a long time ago. Long time ago. All my life. Does the pattern change? Jude 3 says it was once for all delivered unto the saints. The word is the incorruptible seed. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Is there anything missing? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says that God has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17 says, as we read so many times, every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. There's nothing missing. Are studies in the pattern important? Some just don't know. Some just haven't given any thought to it. It's not important to them. What is emphasized is the love of God, which should be emphasized. But nothing is said about the justice or God's desire for us. Some aren't mature enough to appreciate. And every time you get away from the narrative, it's boring. I don't like to read that. They're dull of hearing. And sometimes people start off dull of hearing. But here's the problem. The heretic describes such a study as irrelevant, that is, a study of the pattern, because they see it as an impediment to what they want to do. When you start studying the pattern, then you can put oak in the ark. And you can put ice cream and Dr. Pepper on the Lord's table. On Monday morning. What is it you want to do? You can do anything if you banish the idea or the notion of a pattern. And that's the point. People are doing anything and everything. And not just in the denominations. It has been said, it's been said by every older preacher I've ever known, that when the churches of Christ get a hold of some error, they out-error the ones who started it. And it was the same thing in Israel. When the children of Israel began to worship Baal, they out-worshipped the Baalites. If a Canaanite's going to offer one child, the Israelis got to offer two as a burnt offering. That's how it was when they fell away. We must respect and obey God's measurements, the plan of salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. How many times have you had people say, "Oh, I don't believe that"? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ and the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I don't believe that. I mean, they don't even ask, they don't wait for you to explain it or give your opinion. They just say, "Oh, I just don't believe that." What about the worship? When we worship after the precepts of men, our worship becomes vain, according to Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. God is a spirit, and they that worship must worship Him in spirit and in truth, John 4 and verse 24. What about the organization and work of the church? We're to build all things according to the pattern in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. With reference to morality, there's a pattern there. Titus 2 verses 11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." We're taught all about morality. And then we're told by our friends not to worry about it. It's kind of like back in the days of the judges. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And that is a good description of our society, but not just our society, but that small group of people who live in that society who call themselves Christians. God's given a pattern for how we're supposed to live, and we need to follow that pattern. We need to be concerned with what the Bible says and follow it, because our souls are hanging in the balance. We talked a minute ago about Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Have you been baptized into Christ? If not, let's take care of that before it's too late. If you have been baptized, but you haven't been living the way you're supposed to, come back to the Lord. We can help you when we're ready to do that. We'll pray for you. We'll study with you. We'll do what we can to encourage you. You have to let us know by coming to the front while we stand and sing.